Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
It's a privilege to have Jerry here. Jerry, and I've known Jerry since the first time I met him, I was 12 years old. I'm always 12 years old, and thank you. I'm not going to wait any longer to bring Jerry up. I'm going to head and Jerry, make your way to the platform. Would you welcome Pastor Jerry Harris?
Thank you, Barry.
Love you.
Well, there's nothing like sharing the transparency of finances and then bring a missionary on platform. Just makes all of us feel really, really good. Thank you, Pastor Barry. I asked him for five more minutes because you need to hear this morning. God has been good to Lisa and I throughout the years, and we've passed some wonderful places. But 10 years ago, we got into a building, the old Bellman car dealership. God had given increase to the church. And some of you are familiar with the First Assembly. Some of you, that was your home for years. Pastor Barry was on staff there. And we outgrew the farmer building, was actually shuttling people in from the lawyer's office to banks, and because the parking was just atrocious. We bought houses, and we tried to really expand there. We weren't able to do that, so we began to look for property in a five-mile radius of the building. And yes, didn't really want to relocate at all. Is it better? Okay, is that good? Didn't want to relocate at all, wanted to stay where we were, and we were doing multiple services at that time. And what happened was, when we couldn't stay there because the city was going to make it so unaffordable for us, the parking garage, we had to build one, and that was going to kick the cost up to about $14 million just to stay there and expand the property. And we went back to the church, they voted 100% to relocate. Now, churches relocate about every, maybe once in its lifetime, twice, maybe three times tops. That church is 75, 80 years old. We relocated. We bought the Bellman building. We put our building up for sale. In a week and a half, we had a contract on for $3.5 million. Paul Bellman, we negotiated with him, said, "Paul, we'd like to buy your building." He said, "We'll sell it to you for $12 million and 26 acres. Can't afford that. Bottom line is, my point to what I want to share with you, and that's why I want to take an extra few moments, is the building is a box, it's a tool that God uses to facilitate ministry. It's nothing more than that. Never can be more than that. We relocated, God gave us an increase again, and some financial people in the room will say, "Well, you're sort of foolish." No, we had financial people on our board. Bought the building for $5.7 million with 21 acres. They're celebrating their 10th year in that building today. 10th year. Let me tell you what happened. That was in 07. What happened in 08? Our payment was $37,000 a month. A month. 08, the housing market crashed, right? People in our church lost their businesses. People in our church went bankrupt. It's just now taking them almost 10 years later to recoup from what happened in 08 and 09. In 08, we not only paid our building payment of $37,000 a month, we gave over $300,000 to World Missions. Yes. You know why? Was it because of me? No, I'm nobody. Was it because of the leadership of the board? Of the whole church, and we had great leadership and that? No. You know why? Because 65% of the people coming into that church did not know Jesus Christ. How do I know that? And some of you were there. Mary Ellen was there. Because we tracked it. 60 to 65% of the attendance and growth of that church was people who did not know Jesus Christ or had very little, any kind of relationship with the church world. When you start reaching people that do not know Jesus, God provides miraculously. I'm going to say this, and I say it, Barry, with a very, very compassionate heart. If a church isn't, the church is always going to struggle financially. You'll always struggle. When we plant churches, I share with the planters, I say, your job is to raise a budget. And it's normally $180,000 to $120,000 it costs to plant a church. That is a launch budget. There's a year to year and a half work that goes into planting a church. And from the get-go, it's a stretch to raise that kind of money. You can go to the next slide. I want to show you our newsletter real quick. And hopefully you can get it up there and you can see some of the pictures. We do have a copy, a few extra out in the lobby on the blue table. And by the way, thank you, Pastor, because he was out of town. I think you were in Haiti, right? Were your mission? Oh, okay, that's right. Well, yeah, there's a good reason to cancel that one. But in pastoring, and I was very jealous of the pulpit. I had to really, really like you before you came in. So I guess Barry really, really likes me to have you come in. And he wasn't able to be here last Sunday. But you can't see them real clear, but there's copies out. You see then on the left side, left portrait, top right, they just launched in April. Brandon Wilkes and his wife. No, keep it on the boat. Oh, okay, they're messing with me. Yeah, the left side, you see the top right on the left side, that's Brandon and his wife. Down below, Tim Needham just launched in August. He reaches homeless youth. I just met with him yesterday. Goes out Monday night on the streets, actually homeless camps, brings kids off the streets. They find them place to stay. They enroll them in education. He's primarily working with 21 to 26 years old, and many of them now are under 21 years of age, been homeless for a long, long time. You can't see it, but they'll tell us a story. The top right, you can't see them real clear, obviously. That's the Hamburg family. They just moved up Kentucky. They live in Narr City, in one of the worst neighborhoods in Narr City. They're both college educated. They moved from Kentucky to plant a church in Narr County, St. Louis. The next one down below them is Tim Wiggs and his wife and his family. He moved to St. Ann, Missouri from Kentucky. These are going to be planting next year. The two on the left planted in April and August of this year. Two on the right are planting this fall of 2018. He moved to St. Ann. He said, well, Buddy had a house. And you know how buddies are? Sometimes your friends, you better watch who they are because you don't know. He said, oh, we got a house. You can rent it. So he moved his family up from Kentucky, moved him to a house that was mice and rat infested and run down and needed rehab. So what he's doing today, literally today, he is rehabbing one room with his wife and two children in the room they've already done. They're coming in to do what? To reach people for Jesus Christ. He has no budget raised. Bivocational. Both the gentleman on the right are bivocational. Has no money. Got to raise $100,000. And you think you got a $5,000 deal you need? This is their life. This is their life. Their sacrifices so they can come here and reach people for Jesus. You took an offering for us the last time we were here. Thank you for that. That goes to help these people do what they got to do. I want to show another picture real quick. This is a launch that just happened 3 weeks ago. The next picture, I think you, hopefully you can show that. Okay. That's the back of Kingdom House in South St. Louis on 11th Street. We were about 5 miles from the protest when this thing was launched 3 Sundays ago. Remember the protests in St. Louis? They were really going big time about 5 miles south of where the protests were at. He launched his church with 200 plus people there. Amen. Amen. You know, really, 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 you ought to be standing and applauding that. I know one lady dedicated her heart to the Lord that Sunday. He's now, it's been 3 weeks out. He's run about 120, 130 regularly in that same room. That same Sunday he launched, we had three others launch, total of four. Those four churches launched with a total of attendance of 650 on Sunday morning with 13 decisions for Christ.
Amen.
Everyone, yeah, thank you. Every church that's launched isn't launched from people who've been attending another church. There's people who come and help, and core group people. That's part of it. But these churches are launched with brand new people that have been invited by a friend, by a friend, by a friend. And so they come and they're presented the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they accept Christ. That's why a new church plant will win more people to Christ in the first 5 years than a church that's been in existence for over 10 years. Literally, they will. That's a statistical fact. That's why I love what we're doing, because God's called us to reach people, to get out of the box, if you will, to do something more than what we could say we could do any other time in the history of mankind. Barry mentioned this to you. Our mission statement is around the world and across the street. The America is being called a post-Christian country by religious theologians who've tracked this for many, many years. America is being called a post-Christian country. What does that mean? That means Christianity is irrelevant to us. That Christianity is irrelevant to us. In other words, we go to a place of worship, and we come into a place of worship, but really, once we leave the place of worship, there's not an influence in the culture. And that doesn't have to be explained. I think all you got to do is just listen and look at what's going on in our schools and at different places. There is this outbreak of non-Christian culture that has seemingly overwhelmed the church. But I'm here to tell you, nothing will stand against the church when men and women are sold out to Jesus Christ and out of the box. And witnessing, not just going door to door. I've done it all, man. I'm wired that way. Door to door. I mean, whatever works, get them. You know, if you have, the Bible says, you know, bring them in by the nap of their neck. That means you'll just grab them by the collar and drag them in, you know. Well, the church planter doesn't drag them in, but he entices them. Yeah. And so our launches are launching with 150 to 200 plus people. And they're staying with it. One launch on that Sunday, the pastor could not get the occupancy permit in the building. Now, most of us would have said, I can't do it. He couldn't get the city to give an occupancy permit. They'd remodeled it, and he couldn't get in there. You know what he did? He set up three. You know the tents you buy, and then got 10 by 10 or 10 by 12 tents you set up out in the parking lot? You know, that kind of stuff. He set up three or four of those and put 105 people on launch day underneath them tents. Yeah. Right outside the door of a strip mall that he couldn't get into. What if we had the passion for people as he's got?
That's right. Amen.
See, we've got to have a nice box. We have a nice stuff in the box. Nice. You got a double box. You got a guy. Where's the drummer at? Is he in here? Would you stand up? You are free from the box, buddy. We even put the drummer in a box. Let him go. No, just kidding. I'm going to mess up your sound for sure, aren't I? Let him go. Let's keep people in a place. Let's do the church box. Let's do the church thing. Well, that's why I love what I do and love pastoring in the First Assembly, because we didn't do things normal. Because when you reach people and you look at your neighbor and you observe them for just a moment before I say my next statement, go ahead, look at your neighbor. Come on, it's all right. Look at them. Somebody haven't even noticed who's behind you, around you. Look at them, would you please? Come on. Look at them and say, this is what I'm going to say, you are abnormal. There isn't any normal people in the world. You know, we just think we are. We're abnormal. We're deficient. We need each other. We need Jesus. And a person at Walmart, the clerk at Walgreens, or wherever you go, or whatever you're doing, hang out with at work, whatever, you know, it doesn't matter if you think they know Jesus or not. They need Jesus. Because we're all needy people, because we're abnormal. We were birthed in with abnormality without God, and we need God. But in order to do that, we got to get out of the box. And that's why the church planters, they're so, and I hate to use the word because it becomes sort of a buzzword or a phrase, and it's cutting edge. How many's ever heard the phrase cutting edge? Okay, well, that means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. But to a church planter, it means I'm going to do whatever it takes to reach one that's far away from God. They are pioneers. Listen, years ago, my dad had a tent, and Barry comes from a long history of evangelists and pastors in the Ivy family. And they did this as well. But my dad had a tent years and years ago. And he with another guy, my dad worked full time. He would load the tent up on a trailer. They'd drive into a small community. And I remember as a little boy, they had the bullhorns on the roof of the car. Anybody remember the bullhorns on the roof of cars? I think it's going to make a comeback because it's very effective. And dad would drive down through the streets of the town and he would say, services at so-and-so, vacant lot, whatever, at 7 o'clock tonight, come and enjoy the services. How many's ever heard anything like that? If you did, you're old. And my dad would do that. You know what Jerry did? Jerry hid behind the back seat and laid down on the couch because I don't want people noticing that. I was in my box. I was in my comfort box. Dad would pitch a tent. He played the guitar and the harmonica at the same time. That's what he saved out of the bars. That's what he played. He played the guitar and harmonica at the same time. They preached. People come to Jesus. Not all fellowships and denominations start that way, but John Wesley did. And many of the denominations great today start out that way. It was out of the box thinking. It was abnormality. I got a word for you real quickly. When we think of out of the box, the scripture I want to start out with is in Acts 13. If you got a second, Barry, give me an extra 5 minutes. Thank you, Pastor. Turn to Acts 13, whether it be a digital device or a Bible, whatever you got handy. It would do you well to read the story. It starts in Acts 8, 9, and 10. And basically, this is an explosion of out of the box of Jerusalem. 100,000 people. In the first 20 years of Christendom, after Jesus died and resurrected, Jerusalem, 100,000 believers in that community now, approximately 200,000 population in this time. And here, an explosion takes place of out of the box. They were still reaching people in Jerusalem. They were doing a lot of amazing things, and God was doing a miracle after miracle after miracle. Get into Acts 8, Acts 9, you read the story of Stephen. Stephen was one of the first apostles. You read his story and all of a sudden he's preaching and he gives a whole litany of the reasons why Jesus came. There's a chapter on it. He invokes from the audience anger. Particularly the religious crowd. And it's amazing to me, we plant a church. I get religious people around us who are pastors of the churches. You can't do that here. And I mean, we're talking a town of 20,000 people and they're running 50. And they're still there. But the religious crowd got angry at Stephen because he told them the truth. Well, you know the story, if you've read the Bible much, or if you haven't, you ought to read it. They picked up rocks and started stoning him. They killed him. From that moment, that persecution, all of a sudden, the out-of-the-box syndrome took place. And what I mean by that is, from then on, it was Katie bar the door. They got out of Jerusalem. Believers fled the city because they were afraid of persecution. You see, they fled afraid of persecution, but yet persecution followed them to wherever they were. Whenever you stand up for a principle or a cause, you're going to get somebody to mock you or criticize you or be angry with you. Running from it never solves a problem. Because a problem will always catch you. And so they ran and they ran and they ran. A few believers went to Antioch. And you know where Antioch is? You hear on the news all the time. It's in Syria. In Syria. Several, I don't know how many miles, probably 200 miles northeast or east of Jerusalem. The believers went to Antioch to flee because of relationships. They had probably family there. They went there. They started talking to people about Jesus, what they experienced in Jerusalem. And all over the other parts of the earth at that point, they started talking to people about what they knew. In other words, their lifestyle and being moved out of the box caused them to do something that we don't do anymore. They built relationships and talked about Jesus and the birth of a church. Whenever you have two or three together, and we use this scripture more than ever, and I think I'm not going to rewrite the Bible, but I've been known to paraphrase some things. Where two or three are gathered, I'm with you. Okay, I'm going to paraphrase it. Where two or three are gathered, you got a church. You know, it may be a small group. You can call it what you want to, but it's a church. And so what happened was they started this movement in Antioch. It began to grow. Well, now we catch up with this story in Acts 13. Paul and Barnabas, man, great teachers, and Saul, actually he's called Saul up to that point because he had just been converted a few chapters before. He was still Saul of Tarsus. That's what they knew him by. And later his name became Paul. But it was Saul and Barnabas in Acts 13. And so in the first few chapters, there's some really out-of-the-box principles I want to drop in your heart for the next 4 minutes. Are you ready? Let me just ask a question. Do you believe God wants to use you in an abnormal way to reach people that you would otherwise probably never reach? I'm going to ask that question again. Do you believe God would use you in an abnormal way because you're an abnormal person to reach people in an abnormal way that you might not ever reach before? I got to have a little more than that. Would you, if you say, yeah, I want to do that. Yeah, I think so. Would you raise your hand? You got to be definite. Okay, look around, see who didn't raise their hand. I'm not here to cause strife and division among you, but it may. Okay. Then if we're going to be that type of people and the church has lost its relevancy in the culture, and I'm in a lot of churches, I see a lot of stuff going on, but if the church, by statistical and by religious experts tell us that we've lost our influence, our relevancy, then we must pick up this stuff. We must think about it in Acts 13. The first thing that I want you to put in your heart, a characteristic of out-of-the-box abnormal thinking, is be a spiritual leader. We talk about leadership a lot, and I've written a lot about leadership. I've taught a lot about leadership. And it's important. I've gone to, I don't know how many leadership conferences, probably many as you have. I was in the corporate world and they sent me leadership stuff all the time. We talk about leadership. We talk about leadership at home. We talk about being a good mom, a good dad, or a good single mom, single dad, or whatever the situation, been in the family. Let's be a great leader in the home. But you know what we fail to leave out? Is to be a spiritual leader. Our country needs spiritual leaders, not followers. We need church planters who leave Kentucky in the confines of a nice home, haven't sold their home, and move into North St. Louis where the neighborhood is bad, and become a spiritual leader in the neighborhood that needs a spiritual revolution. Praise the name of the Lord. And I'm here to tell you, there's people that I walk with, I talk with, that you live with. They need a spiritual revolution because as the church goes, so goes the nation. Every time. Every time. What does it mean to be a spiritual leader? You can read it in Acts 13, 2 and 3. It says, they were worshiping the Lord and fasting. The Holy Spirit said, dedicate Barnabas and Saul for the special work I have for them. So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. I mean, this was a commissioning service for Saul and Barnabas. The spiritual leader is one that says in the scriptures, a worshiper. What's a worshiper? We've put that in the box. It's Sunday morning when, and you got a great worship leader. Is he in the room? Yeah, Pastor Mike. Where are you at, Mike? I like to have you. When he stands up and starts this going, then that's the worship. We get in the box of worship. That's where we're supposed to worship. No, you know better than that. A spiritual leader, worship isn't any act. Worshiping is a submissive and willing devotion to God. It doesn't matter what you sing. It doesn't matter if you got your hands up. It doesn't matter if you do a two-step on the platform. Or if you've got smoke and mirrors and all the stuff coming down at you. Simply, worship is a submissive, willing devotion to your God. Amen. That's a spiritual leader. That's a spiritual leader. That's a spiritual leader. The second, this characteristic of being a spiritual leader, they fasted. Oh, fasting. Are you kidding me? They worshiped, breathed, and fasted. Fasting's got a bad rap. It's for the real religious, righteous people. It's for Pastor Barry. And some of you thought this, and don't tell me you haven't. He needs to fast. Look at your neighbor and say, yeah, you need to fast too, buddy. Girl, whatever. You need to fast. We've gotten a bad rap. The main reason for fasting is spiritual. It does benefit physically. We know that. But God created us as a three-part being, spirit, soul, and body. Fasting makes our whole person healthier. We need healthy spiritual leaders to lead a revolution of relevance back into our country. Not to fast as the Pharisees. Oh, I wash my head and I'm all proper. I've got all three buttons buttoned on my tunic. I only got two, but two, that'll do. And I've got all three buttons and I look the part and I'm really good. But how are you healthy? Spirit, body, mind, soul. Spiritual leader fasts and he prays. He worships, he prays, he fasts. That's obvious. Prayer. Well, we know that prayer is something we ought to do. But you go back to this situation of prayer. Prayer isn't something I know I ought to do. Prayer, if I'm devoted to God, is a natural outgoing willingness to be in relationship with Him. And the only way you can be in relationship with Him is to talk to Him regularly. You know that. I don't have to go into that, do I? If you're married and you don't talk, you're not going to have a very healthy marriage. If you want friendships, you got to talk to your friend. You say, well, prayer is a private, secret thing. Absolutely it is. You need to have a prayer closet where you go in and you shut the door. I don't have a cell phone up here, but you put the cell phone in the other room and you close the door and all the noise and stuff going on, all the work stuff, all the pressure stuff, all the stuff that's bothering you so that you can relate to your God, to your Savior, to your Jesus, and He just loves on Him and He loves on you. You don't ask Him for nothing. You just say, hey, God, I want to be with You today for a few minutes, for an hour, whatever it is. That's all I want to do. And you come out and you're a spiritual leader. Because you're walking into a culture that is pressured, unhealthy, having issues and challenges. They need a light to walk into the world that is a spiritual leader who says, we're here, praise the name of the Lord. Not as your Savior. Not coming in and saying, hey, I'm just gonna rip you up and tear you down because you're an evil sinner and you drink smoke and you got tattoos or whatever you got. Not judgmental, but to love people the way Jesus loves them. Amen. Can I get to your second one real quick? Is it time? You sure? I do not want to offend you, because I'll never be invited back again. Spiritual leader. This is a word that God gave me. We need spiritual leaders. Be out of the box, spiritual leaders. We need to be in ministry. Abnormal. Your ministry isn't here. This is service. There's a difference. Ministry, service. When you serve in the local church, we've said that's a ministry. And we've convoluted the issue. Because when I come and serve at the sound booth or the PowerPoint, or I serve communion, or I do things, that's a given. You ought to be doing that stuff. If you're not volunteering to do anything in the church, then why are you here? Why am I here? Ministry, though, is something that we haven't had a lot of. If I'm going to be out of the box, it's not about my service is this compartment on the worship team. That's my compartment. That's the box I'm in. My ministry is leading people in worship. I'm not picking on you, my friend. Or my ministry is the greeter at the door. No, no, no. Your ministry is to invite others into God's family. That's your ministry. And if you're not doing that, you don't need to be serving. Oh, boy. Brad just said, oh, man, Harris. Seriously. Well, maybe you ought to be serving because then you may get a love for people, but you'll probably be one of those servers who don't show up half the time and cause problems with the stuff going on. That's probably what's going to happen. But ministry, quickly. Ministry is you're motivated to please Jesus at home and at work. And connecting to the body of Christ. We get it backwards. We think my ministry is doing this. My ministry is to and is motivated by Jesus only to reach out to people, love them, invite them into God's family, show them how God has changed my life. That's my ministry. My ministry isn't to be a pastor. That's my service to the Lord. That's a calling to the Lord. The third piece, real quickly, and I'm going to wrap it up here. And your pastor has been gracious to me. What's the first one? If I'm going to be out of the box, abnormal. Be a spiritual leader. Guarantee it'll change your life. It'll change the environment of the culture around us. Secondly, be in ministry. Be a person who's a minister at work, home, wherever you're at. Be a person of ministry. Be a person of ministry. Thirdly, what happened in Acts 13 is have a mission. Have a mission. They've been gone for at least a year. They returned back. They said they were dedicated. They sent them out. I don't have time to give you the whole full thing here, but they dedicated them. Paul and Barnabas left. They were gone a year. They came back, and that's their first missionary journey. During that year, they had preached in different communities around part of the world. They came back and gave a report to the church. They had a mission for their life. We call it purpose. Think of it with me. My motive is love. My message is good news. As I live it and share it, and I'm a spiritual leader, your life will be out of the box. Your life will be abnormal in most church circles. And I say this, and I'll close. May God rise up abnormal, out-of-the-box people. You only come to this box to be energized, pep rally, what do you want to call it? Ecstatic. Celebrate. This is how many came to Christ this year, this week. This is how many people I ministered to, Pastor. This is how many people that we really saw come to Jesus. This is how many people. You know the health mark of a church is how many people are actually coming to Christ and how many people are discipling throughout the year. Never measure by finances because you never have enough money to do what you got to do. You don't. You never do. If you're in a business of church work, to have more money in a bank than what you have out of the bank or not ministering to people, then you're in the wrong business because you never end the money because the need is so great. You put all your resources into reaching people and not maintaining. And what happens is God gives an increase and God blesses and God goes forward. And that's the reason I'm done now. I'm abnormal. I go, I could probably go another 20, 30 minutes, so I'm really abnormal today. But Barry, I love you. Thank you.
Love you, buddy. Love you.
Thank you.
Let's give him a hand, guys. Can I tell you why I stood a few minutes ago when he mentioned 13 people came to Christ that particular day? Let me tell you why I stood, because I know what it is to church plant. And I know what it is to stand there with my wife and my children, my two daughters, and look down a road and pray somebody will drive down that road on the first Sunday. I know what it is to go there the day before and sweep all the fur off because there was a collie convention in the park, literally shedding, the dogs were shedding, and we're sweeping and sweeping and sweeping the concrete off, and there's posters all around of all the dogs from the festival the day before, and we're sweeping to make, because we're going to eat on that first meal. I know what it is to look down that road and pray, dear God, send somebody. If you've never dreamed a dream, if you've never had a passion for something, I'm sorry. But I'm going to tell you, I am a church planter at heart. I know what it is when I see those four families that are sacrificing and laying it down. I know what that looks like. I know when I resigned at First Assembly of God, First Assembly of God was gracious, but my income was ending at First Assembly of God. I know what that, oh dear God, Mike, looks like. I know what that feels like on, I had deacons telling me, if you'll stay, we'll take care of you. Just don't leave. And I know what that is to have the pastors of, and the leaders come to me and say, Pastor Barry, we don't understand why you're leaving us. It's hurting us. I understand all of those emotions where you feel like you're leaving those who met 18 years at First Assembly of God. And Jerry was the first one I called. Many of you know that story. He's the first one I called when I said, Pastor Jerry, he wasn't at First Assembly yet. He was doing outreach with church planting. I said, I need some direction. And the two of us met at a nasty Denny's somewhere. Can't remember where it was. And we began to dream the dream of St. Charles River Church. I had a name already because God gave it to me in 1993, months before we launched. I know what that is, guys. And I'm going to tell you, our vision statement is, part of our 13 core values is world missions. And if you'll read it, it says, around the world and across the street. Jerry quoted it a few minutes ago. We do go across the street. We just hit thousands of homes here just recently. We literally went to, if y'all don't know it, tell somebody in the children's ministry. Do y'all know that we hit thousands of homes recently and reached this community? And we're still reaching them, by the way. We got a lot of emails. We need to go across the street to partner with Jerry and Lisa. Lisa's back there on the back row by Elise. We need to go across the street and church plant. We need to partner with these church planters. There are church planters right now. Jerry knows them in Ferguson, Missouri. There are church planters throughout the St. Louis area. This is a metro area. We need to be reaching them. And I'm going to ask you to sacrifice to partner for these church plants in the name of Jesus. Would you just pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, it's not about supporting Pastor Jerry and Lisa. It's about reaching the harvest. That's where our money should be invested. So God, today, right now, I'm asking you to plant in the hearts of those that are sitting here, what can I do to invest in people that have not been reached yet? And Christ is coming back for them. So we need to make sure they're reached. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. God bless you as you give and as you sacrifice.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.